Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dope Black Podcast. Dope Black Podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Whenever it is you're listening to this, this is the Dope Black Dads Podcast. My name is Umar, also known as The Kank, and I'm here today to talk about inflation, managing your money and coping with the cost of living when you have kids. Now, everyone knows at the moment things have gone a bit peak for everyone. You know, inflation has gone mad. The amount of money that we're spending compared to what it was before is just completely off the charts. So today I've got a very special guest who's going to be talking to us about how we can kind of manage in these very trying times. I've got Emmanuel Asukor, who is a qualified financial advisor. And this guy has worked in financial services for over 15 years. Now, he's somebody who gives financial education talks all over the UK. He's spoken to over 30,000 people in the last 3 years, which is more than what Arsenal fans get sometimes at the dead Emirates Stadium. I don't know why I'm making an Arsenal reference, but there you go. Emmanuel, are you an Arsenal fan? See, I didn't even know that. I just guessed that. But there you go. I'm not even a Spurs fan, so I don't even know why I'm doing all that hate. But no, love to all the Arsenal fans. But yeah, back to Emmanuel. He's been featured in The Times, The Telegraph, The Sun, the Daily Mail newspapers. He has been invited to speak as an expert guest on BBC Radio on multiple occasions. You would have seen him on TV as well quite recently. He's done a lot of talks. He's been featured as an expert for the BBC One show Your Money, Your Life, where he helped a family save just under £10,000 on their annual household bills. I'll be hitting you up after this so you can see what we do for me as well. He's also invited to be a financial expert on ITV's This Morning. So this is a person that's been in the home of millions of viewers all over the UK. He's been doing a lot of stuff with Channel 4 as well. And he has a passion for helping people, and his vision is to become the financial advisor for the nation. I salute you, my brother. Emmanuel, welcome to the Dope Black Dads Podcast. How are you today, sir?
Yes, Umar, I'm happy to be here, man. It's good to be here. I'm glad, you know, obviously Arsenal are winning and doing well, so I don't care what anyone else has to say. I've been waiting too long for this moment. No one can steal my joy. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. And I'll hopefully we share some wisdom, some knowledge, and help people, because I know it's a hard time out there.
No, it really is. And I think I was looking in your Instagram pages, and actually, I love the tagline that you have. What is it? It's, this is my only account, and I won't DM you for money. Spoken like a true Nigerian. I love it. It's such a cool thing. But actually, if you go on Emmanuel's Instagram, once you've had a chance to listen to us, you know, he does give a lot of fantastic advice and tips. And actually, some of the videos that he's been doing has been really good as well. And I think for me, kind of reading up about you and understanding your profile a little bit, you know, you, fellow East Londoner like me, I know you grew up in Tower Hamlets, if I'm correct in saying. I grew up down the road in Newham, rap Newham. Shout out Tower Hamlets as well. But yeah, you know, somebody who's educated, who understands his people, understands the market, and is here to hopefully give you guys a bit more of an insight as to what he does and how he can best help you. But before we kind of kick into it a little bit more, Emmanuel, I just wanted to kind of set the scene for everyone that's listening. As it stands at the moment, the Conservative government is leaving people from a black household exposed to the cost of living crisis. So the Labour Party has claimed, as a new analysis from the party reveals, that almost four in five have less than £1,500 in savings and a quarter have none at all. So imagine that, less than £1,500 in savings, and that's 4 in 5 people have that, which is massive. Now, a new analysis was published to coincide with Race Equality Week back in February, and it showed that over 1.2 million adults, which is about 78%, headed by somebody from a Black African, Caribbean or Black British background, reported having less than £1,500 in savings and investment. Over 500,000 or 24% have zero savings. Compare that to the Pakistani and Bangladeshi household, they're also disproportionately affected at the risk of soaring price rises. So they have 72% and 73% respectively holding less than £1,500 in savings as the crisis bites. So in both groups, over a quarter of adults, so 27 and 28% respectively, don't have any savings. Now, when you compare this with the national average, almost half of the UK's adults report having less than £1,500 in savings, 15% report none at all. So that means when you put all these figures together, you have almost 10 million adults in this country from all backgrounds who have no savings at a time when rising inflation is pushing up energy, food and fuel prices. One of the things that we always talk about on Dope Black is that structural barriers that face Black, Asian, minority, ethnic communities in the workplace likely to be a contributing factor to their low levels of savings. Official government statistics have shown that 8% of Black people are unemployed, double the national average, while people from Pakistani and Bangladeshi backgrounds have lowest hourly pay. So 17% of people living in Asian households also have a persistent low income, which is the highest of any ethnic group. So Labour did this whole big analysis. They spent 18 months doing this. They had Baroness Doreen Lawrence who published a review. And in it, she kind of looked at the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 on Black and Asian minority ethnic communities. So they found that during lockdown, Black, Asian and minority ethnic workers were overrepresented in shutdown sectors. Pakistani and Bangladeshi workers also were overwhelmingly less likely to be employed. So when you put all of this together, this crisis does not affect everyone equally. Let's not get it twisted. People of colour are heightened risk because of pre-existing factors. For example, being on lower incomes and having more insecure work. So kind of zero contract hours type of work. So when you put all of this together, it is not looking good for us. But Emmanuel, as I said, thank you. Welcome to the programme. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with money, how it began. You know, how did you kind of... Yeah, what was your flex with money when you were growing up?
Oh, good. Can I talk about what you just said, though?
Go for it. No, absolutely. Go for it.
Because obviously you said quite a lot, and I think a lot of these things, I think, have to be taken in context, especially to money culturally. So when we talk about... I being Black, I know the Black community, and I deal with a lot of my clients are Black, and so I feel like I'm in a strong position to talk from the Black community point of view. So when they do a lot of the stats, they have to also remember that, yes, then when you look at it, banks might report that Black people not having any savings, but it doesn't mean they don't have the money. So they might have the money under the bed. Mm. They might have it, like Asian community might have it in gold. So what also we have to understand is that we have a much distrusting relationship when it comes to the banks or anything that is mainly, you know, Western culture. Mm. And so what happens is that because we don't trust the banks, you might not feel like we want to leave our money in there. Mm-hmm. So, and also we have a lot of people want to buy back home, for example.
Yeah.
So you talk about us not having money or whatever here, but a lot of people have land and stuff that's not going to be on these stats or not going to be included. I think when you think about Black people as well, we've been having a cost of living crisis. Our money has always been in crisis. My parents are in crisis. I did a video the other day. You know, I come from a place where we used to have bucket bath, and you had one bucket of water.
Yep,
like literally one bucket of water. Mm-hmm. There was no shower. That didn't exist. There was no shower. Like my mum never used to buy bottles of water. Mm. She would boil the kettle, let it cool, put it in a plastic bottle, put it in the fridge. That was the water. Mm. We didn't have choice of food. We were eating rice every single day.
Yep.
Maybe a little stitch up with some spaghetti. You know what I mean? Like, we went to market to buy our food.
Yeah.
Like, I always tell people, my mom used to take me to Petticoat Lane Market, and the chickens were alive. Like, you looked in the eye before you killed me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you understand? So what I'm saying is that, you know, hand-me-downs, that wasn't this new eco warrior thing that everyone's doing now. Mm. That was a way of life.
Yeah.
I used to go to my cousin's house and I would go through his wardrobe, and anything that I find that didn't fit him and fit me, I'm wearing. Mm. And I'm not thinking about it as, oh, hand-me-downs. I think this is life. Mm. I'm thinking, oh, I might get some designer clothes, or I might get something that actually looks nice. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And so the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I talk about shoes. So my kids, for example, they don't understand, you know, when their shoes bust that they're not going to get a new one. Mm. They just know, oh, like my kid, we bought in a new PE joggers, mm. joggers, went to school, come back holding it, I need a new one. Like, it's impossible. Like, my wife just sold it.
Yeah.
They didn't even understand the concept of sewing. They were like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
And now because it's sewn, they feel like it's dirty, or it's not, I don't want to wear that one. Yep. Because my day, we had shoe polish and glue. When your mouth opened of your shoe, glue it, stick it under there, hold it down, and you got to ride that till the summer, because you got one shoe for the year.
100%.
So the point I'm saying is that I feel like we forget where we've come from. Mm. We've always been in a cost of living crisis. We're just lucky that we now have had the elevation from our parents to allow us to get out of where we were. Mm. And now we're experiencing a level of comfort that's now being reduced. And we feel like, oh my goodness, this crisis, how am I going to survive? You come from that. We've been surviving. Like, we've been having low incomes way before. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We've been having to do security and these types of cleaning and these types of jobs that are, like you said, very insecure. You're getting paid cash in hand. Mm. You know what I mean? And we've come from that. So what I'm saying for us as a community, this is, yes, it's a hard time for everybody. And again, that's why it's a crisis. It's a crisis because white people are in trouble. Let's make it clear.
Go for it.
Let's make it clear. Yeah, let's make it clear. Because black people been struggling. The poorest, and when I come from Tower Hamlets, so we white, black, Asian, we're all poor. Like, I always tell people, Tower Hamlets is a weird place, and you probably experience it in New York.
Yeah, 100%.
It's different. I didn't really experience racism like that.
No.
Because white people tend to be the minority.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really run around being racist because they're the least in the area. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Yep. And black culture was huge. Mm. So obviously we grew up on grime. So black culture was huge. So the Asians used to rap, the American yep. rap, you know what I mean? Yep. And white people used to, you know, act like us. It was cool to be like us. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like Essex Cockney type. That was it. You were either black, you're doing the American thing, or you were Cockney. Mm. That's how everybody was. So there's no real race to poverty. Like, we were all poor, we all came from poor backgrounds, mm-hmm. and we were struggling. The point being is that now middle class white people are struggling,
yeah.
and now it's a crisis. That's the difference. Do you know what I mean? Because people been struggling before. People been struggling on benefits and all of this type of stuff, and nobody cared. So the point being is, for now, for us, it's about looking at what are the things that we can go back to. Because I feel like we've been accustomed to a certain lifestyle and culture and a certain income.
Mm.
I think too many of us are comfortable living on one income. We don't come from one income. A lot of our parents did multiple jobs to survive.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, you're right. And actually, first time, as you're saying that, it's kind of resonating with me. I'm thinking, no, you're right, because our parents came to this country, they were running like 2-3 jobs. I remember, like, my dad would be getting up super early in the morning, kind of out. I'd hardly see him, but, you know, he was there. And now I'm thinking, like, right, okay, I'm at a point now, because of their sacrifice that they made, I could wake up at like 7 o'clock in the morning if I wanted to. Not likely because of the kids, but I could wake up at 7, log in because I'm working from home, do my business and go off. And, you know, I know money's going to get paid. And yeah, you're not thinking about it. And I'm kind of like, I go to the, like, even this morning, I went to fill up petrol. I'm like, this is long, man. I'm paying £1.49 for petrol. Not thinking that actually I can afford to do that. But in my parents' time, that wouldn't have been an option necessarily. They would have been jumping on the bus, would have been jumping on the train. You know, even car or home ownership wasn't a thing. So I think it's interesting that you say that. And again, I think it's interesting that you raise the point that it's white middle class that have been affected, and now suddenly it's a huge crisis. And actually, for us in the black community, we've experienced that before, and we've been living through crisis. It's just that, like you said, we've got comfortable, and perhaps we've forgotten where we came from in that respect.
Exactly. So for me, I feel like going forward is really important. And you mentioned, like, what's my relationship with money? Like, I come from struggle. Do you know what I mean? Like, my dad is an accountant, but when he first came, he came on a student visa. Mm. he had to study and so forth, so they weren't allowed to work. Mm. So again, he had to do cleaning and security. If you see my dad, he's the nicest man in the world. He should never be a security guard. Mm. What can he see? He wouldn't say brutal. You know what I mean? Nice, go to church. But because you're black, all of a sudden you can be, you know what I mean? You can be a security guard, yeah. And you know, you have to do cleaning and all these types of jobs just to get by. My mum, she was a dinner lady for the majority because she needed to be home when we were home, because it was important for her to be home when we were home. So she did dinner lady and she did people's hair, the hairdressing and all of this type of, again, just struggle. So you grow up in, you know, a place where I used to get beat for leaving a light on. I always tell people that. Like, I used to get beat. If you left a light on in the kitchen, I could get licked down for that. Because when you ain't got money, the light reflects money being spent. And if nobody's there, it's a clear indication that money is being wasted. And when you haven't got it's painful. Do you know what I mean? Because that bill comes and you have to pay it. And yet there's a light on and nobody's there. So it's one of those things where it was easy. And so I remember, but I used to go to bed and look out the window and see, you know, Canary Wharf and all the buildings, all the lights, everyone's gone on. And I said to myself, wow, I need to be there. They must have money. They can leave the lights on. And it's things like that when you talk about where I come from, nothing. We didn't even, I told my kids, like, you've got all this stuff. We used to play with sticks.
Yeah.
Bro, we have to make up games.
It's so true.
You find stones that can make the ground, like put a colour in the ground. All of a sudden you start drawing on the ground. Yep. Do you know what I mean? You just play with your friends and, you know, like do little knockdown ginger, risking your whole life knocking on a random stranger's door and anything. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. 100%.
Right, there was no TV. The only TV was in the living room, and I can't even get caught with my African dad watching TV. He'd be telling you, "Did I get on a boat, come all this way over here for you to watch TV?"
Yeah, nice. Do you know what I mean? It's true.
Can't read a book, so it was hard. It was hard. Like school trips was just a no. Like bare school trips, I didn't get to go on. You know what I mean? And I had to accept no for so long in my life. It becomes a norm, and one of the problems with that is that it builds trauma, it builds issues, and so when you start to make money, you are overcompensating. You are buying stuff that I remember buying trainers, and I remember buying basketball trainers, and I wasn't even playing basketball no more. You know what I mean? But it was just because I couldn't buy them when I was. So now I got basketball trainers that I'm not using. But it's like the trauma. You're doing stuff unnecessarily because you missed out, or you feel like, and so. I think a lot of it when it comes to money, especially coming from the backgrounds that we come from, is understanding that our value doesn't come from the things that we own. We're already valuable. Like when you understand that you're already valuable, that no car, no shoe, no bag, no holiday can define your value, that you're already valuable. When you go through that process and you understand that, all of a sudden money looks completely different.
Nah, real talk. And I think it's interesting, like you say, because I think your relationship with money, obviously growing up, from what you're saying, is that I had no access to it. So it's kind of like, you know, like you say, no was just the standard. Whatever the question was, it was going to be no. Like that's the answer. So forget it. Like you can run it through your mind, like whatever, it's just going to be no, you're not getting it. Is that enough? Why are you asking me? Like, you know, so that's the thing. So would you say that kind of inspired you to make the move into financial, because I know you said as well before, like you could see Canary Wharf from like your bedroom window. So was that kind of your driver to wanting to get into financial services?
That was it. I was like, they make money over there. I didn't even understand it. I didn't know about it. It was just buildings. Like growing up, when you grow up in the East, you've literally watched these buildings get built, and you know, there's a new building. Oh, there's a new building there. Like, do you know what I mean? You watch it. So it's like, I know there must be money over there. And then you're at school and then someone comes and says, oh yeah, I work at Canary Wharf. What do? I'm an investment, this and that. And I make X, Y, Z. You're like, oh, okay. Mm. I heard none of that. No one talked like that in my house. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, it was like, this is me. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I got to get there. And by 22, youngest financial advisor in Barclays in the country.
Because I'm fascinated by this because, you know, you went from being, from hearing no to you get to 22 and then suddenly yes and you've got access to finances and stuff. So how was that journey for you? So going from, you know, from that to that,
it was really bad.
Really bad
because what you have to understand is that it's the mindset, not the money. Yeah. So you can give a rich person, you can make somebody rich, but if they have a poverty mindset, they're still going to be poor. And you can have somebody that's poor, but if they learn how to make money and learn how to have the right financial mindset, eventually they'll get out of their situation and change their life. And so what happens is that I'm still in the hood, I'm still living in my parents' house, I'm still got that poverty mindset, but now I'm making more money than my pops and my uncles and everyone around me because I work in the city and I get all these bonuses and company cars and all of this, but I'm still got that hood mentality. So it took a transition of a few years, even being a financial advisor. Because remember, I got some clients that are footballers, yeah? And after I speak to them and it's like, when you're a young footballer, you're now earning 10K, 15K, 20K a week. And to your man them and to everyone around you, you're doing bits. But you see, when you get into that first team locker and you're looking at man and man are earning 150K, 200K, you think you've got your new A-class, which is looking beautiful. Yeah. But these men have got Lamborghinis. All of a sudden, it's all relative. So now you're trying to match them. Now you're on the coach. You're gambling with man that's saying, oh, yeah, £1,000. If we lose this, it's £1,000. Which to them is nothing because they make 100 of that a week.
Mm.
For you, you make 20 of that.
Mm.
You're not in the same ballpark. You're not in the same ballpark, the same level. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, plus, you're not really established. They're established. They know that if this team doesn't want them, another team will want them and pay them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You can be let go. You're not even starting yet. So it's about understanding that for a lot of us, we make money. Most of my clients right now that I see, black women earning 75, 80, 100, 120, 150K, no savings. They've got money. Some of them even got a house just because, but they don't know how to manage their money because nobody around them has ever made this type of money before. And so what happens is that you spend it on lifestyle because guess what? Everybody around you is doing lifestyle.
Mm.
Everybody's going on holiday. Everybody's doing their hair. Everyone's driving a nice car. All of these things is what we have. Consumerism is what we know as wealth. But it's not wealth. It's actually a liability.
Yeah. Do you think that comes as a result of the trauma that you talked about before? Because I think where we've grown up in a situation where, again, the no, you just, that's all you've known. Suddenly you're seeing like 4-5K dropped in your account every single month consistently. And you're like, rah, okay, I can go drive this nice car and I can. So do you think it's kind of like it's the trauma association. So we're kind of like almost in a way, we're trying to make ourselves feel better because of what we experienced growing up when we were younger.
I 100% agree with that. I feel like for a lot of us, we are buying these things, we are making these moves due to trauma, due to past. And also, I feel like it's the value thing again.
Mm.
I tell people like, in our community, we need to start making ownership a thing. Like, I'm lucky enough that growing up in my career, I spent a lot of time around the Jewish community and the Asian community. And when I say Asian, I mean like Indian community.
Mm-hmm.
I've had friends and colleagues and clients that have come from these communities. Mm. And I've learned. So when people see my mindset and the way I am, people have to understand I've taken that from other communities, which is another big problem for us. We only hang with ourselves because we're cool.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about it all the time. One of our biggest problems is that we are, because we are cool, because we are the culture. Remember, I do talks in Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
These young white kids in private schools in Surrey, they talk like Chunks, Philly, Nella Rose, Harry Panero. That's how they talk.
Yeah.
They all talk like from the ends. Mm. Even though they ain't been to the ends, they don't know nothing about it.
Yeah,
we are the culture, I'm on calls with Channel 4 and they're saying, anything black culture, pitch to us now. Yeah, we are the culture. Mm. But what happens is because we are the culture and because we are cool and hip, we feel like we only need to hang with ourselves. And so we miss out on all the other experiences that other people have that we can take on, the good things that we can take on and make ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm lucky, I've hung with the Jewish community, Asian community, and for them, ownership is everything. Everything.
Mm.
So you can't have a nice car and have a conversation with a man from or a woman in those communities and then not say, but what do you own?
Mm.
It's impossible. You see, with us, you can have the latest drip. You can go to a club, you can be in a nice car and have a nice Rolex on your wrist and we will, must be doing well. In those communities, it's impossible.
Mm.
They want to know what do you own? Because if you don't own anything, all of that means nothing. Yeah? Because they understand that this is not about you. One of the biggest problems is with this life is that we are focused on living in our community. We are focused on living this life for us. We want to have a better life than our parents. And so we get the resource and all we think about is ourselves. But we forget that our parents were thinking about us. Our parents did not enjoy. You see, right now, I retired my mum, yeah? I give her money every single month. She always told me about her pension. I call her, I'm like, wow, I never knew what a pension was. You were telling me I'm your pension. And now look at life. How many years later, I'm your pension. Yeah? But our parents didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
They had to deal with real racism. Yeah. They had to deal with real discrimination. They had, and it was blatant. And they were told they were second-class citizens and they were lucky to be here and they should keep their mouth shut. And they did all of that to give us a platform. And now all we are doing is focusing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
On the life that we want, soft life, and did it. This is what we focus on. And then we have kids, and we're not thinking about the kids that what we're going to leave for them. But our parents thought about us, hence why we are in this position today. But we're out here saying, oh, I can't, you can't live for others. We've got to YOLO, one life and to live. And what? Are you crazy? In these other communities, the reason they are so focused on ownership is because they understand legacy. They understand that my life, the value of my life is more to do with what I can leave than what I can spend and what I can enjoy. If I have not done well, if I leave this planet and my children's children are not in a better situation than my parents left me in, I've not done well. It's a totally different mindset. And so for us, for me, I'm really on this because I see man with I seen a man with a Bentley and you live in your mum's yard on a council estate. Bruv, you share a room with your bro and you're in your late 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
And we're out here giving you high fives.
So do you think, you know what? It's really interesting that you say that because I've seen that a lot. And actually talking to other people that I, you know, within Dope Black and in other groups I'm around, there certainly is, I think for people now, the mentality has definitely shifted for a lot of us. Recognizing that actually you need to legacy build. That's the thing that, you know, I think we want to look back because like some of the people that I hang out with, they're like very much, they're on that whole legacy. Now I'm thinking about, I've got like these multiple streams of income, building it, saving it, you know, and I want to have things to hand down to my children so that they can kind of continue. Because one of the things like when I was reading about like stuff like life insurance, for example, it's such a big thing in the white community because it's like when Mandem dies, that's it. Okay, that's going to be a nice payout, 250, 500 grand, whatever it is, you know, they're going to get paid out on death. That's money that's going to go to the family. And if everyone else is doing that and that's happening, that's how you're building up the kind of the wealth and, the, you know, the legacy and you're kind of passing it down and through that you're owning property and stuff. And I just, yeah.
What I'd say is on the life insurance. One, if every black person in America had £1 million life insurance, do you think the police will be shooting them like chickens?
Fair point.
I'm telling you, it's not going to happen.
Fair point.
Because the life insurance company are going to make sure that they would start taking the police to court to make sure that the police will start paying out instead of them having to pay. Number one. Number two, life insurance is one of the only ways for us to guarantee wealth. Yeah? Mm. And the thing about the white community is that they have lived experience. One of the big things of us as humans is now where we're at now as we've evolved is that it has to be real. This is why, you know, Christianity is struggling, because we're trying to get people to believe in something that they can't see or feel. Mm-hmm. And we're at a society where unless I can see it, feel it or experience it. Remember, you can be whatever you want to be. You're a man, you can say you're a woman and nobody can say nothing. Yeah. You're a woman, you can go to the men's toilet. You can identify whatever you want right now. So the thing about the white community is they have lived experience. Grandma has died and money has been paid out that has gone to them to enable them to now buy a house.
Yeah.
So because I've experienced it, I know it's not a scam.
Yeah.
I know it's not. Even if I don't get it, even if I live and it doesn't pay out for me, I know that it would pay out because I have had the experience of it paying out and the benefit in my family. And so we have to be the generation to start getting these things in place. How many times does people die and we do GoFundMe? GoFundMe is not life insurance.
No, it's true. It's true. No, you're right. And I think that is certainly, I think there's something to be said about financial literacy and financial education within the black community. Because I think I look at, like you said, interesting points that you're raising about Indian and Jewish communities. I think those are two communities that have got it on lock. Yeah. Like, you know, for the Indian community that came over to this country, buying up like news agents and corner shops and stuff, you know, and then they're building and pharmacies and doing all of that stuff, handing it down to the children, life insurance, all of that. Yeah, I don't think I've ever met a poor Indian, really, like in my lifetime anyway. I know they exist, but certainly the ones I've met, you know, because they know. And same with the Jewish community, they have that understanding. So within the community, but you're right, within the black community. And again, I think it goes back to the trauma issue, because we grew up with no, suddenly we get this money and it's like, I just want to enjoy and not even thinking about the future impact of it. It's like, I need to enjoy now. I need to show everyone this is what I'm about, which is problematic.
How often do you see, I'm on social media a lot, like how often do you see Indians when they buy their first house, they do the social media post with the key?
Mm.
It's normal.
Yeah.
It's not something, buying your first house, you just keep quiet. What, you've only got one?
Yeah.
Like, do you understand? It's a different mindset completely for us, especially because, again, we do a lot of these things on our own. When I talk about my Indian clients, a lot of them buy in threes.
Yes.
A lot of them buy together. And so they understand that we're stronger together because we're going to hold each other accountable. Mm. It's going to get done. We're all going to put our money in. And even when we buy, we don't have to live in it. So, and we don't have to move out. So I've got Indian friends who get married and they move into their parents' house.
Yeah, yeah.
And their parents have either built something in the back garden or built something, extended the house to this space. Mm-hmm. And so now they live together. I'm talking, these guys are doctors. They're not, the husband and wife are doctors or solicitors. They've got good jobs. Mm-hmm. But they live because they understand that my family is my first business.
Mm.
My family is my first business. So what that means is that I sit down with people and I see brother wants to buy a house, sister wants to buy a house, both struggling, but they would never think in our community to put their money together and buy together. It's too, oh no, I want to get mine. I want to. Mm. Whereas in other communities, like, actually, we're a business.
Yeah,
our family name is a business in itself. When you look at the Chinese community, they built dynasties off their name.
Mm.
Dynasties, to the point where now America has to ask them for help and support. Do you understand? Mm. Because they understand ownership and the value of it. And again, and people were saying, I watched a video the other day talking about the fact that with one of the things that's hurt in Africa is that we don't, our debt is in other people's currency.
Mm.
The UK's debt is in pounds. America's debt is in dollars. Africa's debt is in dollars.
Yeah. Which is mad.
And so the more we owe, the more the value of our money goes down. Mm. The UK can print money all day long, and look, only because they made silly mistakes with the budget have they really seen the pound fall.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And so what I'm saying is that ownership has to be something that we have to think about.
Mm.
Yes, there's a cost of living crisis, but everyone's going through it. Like, I can give you tips on, you know, or maybe, you know, don't put the heating on, or use some draft proofing. But all of this is all going to just get us through the next 18 months. I want us to get through the next 18 years, the next 20 years, the next. I want our kids to sit down and look back and say, wow, our generation did stuff that took us to the next level, to things that are normal. And so actually, let's look at this time where, and we can see, well, even people with jobs are struggling. How do we make sure? Because remember, if white middle-class people are struggling now, that's who we're trying to get to. Where they are is where we're trying to be. And so what do we need to do to make sure that if this thing happens again, we're in a better place?
So again, interesting that you say all that. So given, obviously, we are in a cost of living crisis. So just for our listeners or viewers, I mean, how are people's wages being affected by inflation at the moment? You know, how has that impacted on people from your perspective?
It's impacted people hugely. I think you look at it from, you're getting hit everywhere. So I sit down with people, and I mean, people are earning decent incomes, and they're not doing nothing crazy. They still got no money. And when I say no money, yes, they might have the odd £100 or £200 left over. But when you're earning £3,000, £4,000, £5,000, £6,000 a month combined into the household after tax, and all you can save is £300-£400, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so what happens is that we need to, again, one of the big problems for us is that when you're young, you get your first job, you think you can spend all the money that you make, because what have you got? You got your phone bill. Maybe your parents are, maybe you're giving £100, £200 to your parents or whatever. The rest of the money is yours. It's not reality.
No.
So you get used to being able to spend 80% of your paycheck. When the reality is that when you now leave your parents' home, 50% of your paycheck is just gonna go on rent or mortgage. Do you know what I mean? And then by the time you do council tax, all of that type of stuff, then by the time you pay food, then you decide to have kids. You know how we are. We just be having kids, not thinking about the finances. You know, leave it to God. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
Provide.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what I mean? This is real talk.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, but we really move like this. Do you know what I mean? And then what happens is that I've got people who, you know, 90% of their money is gone on outgoings. When you can only save 10% of your income, do you know what I mean? It's going to take, and then you think about how are we splitting that? We've got pension, we've got property, we've got maybe you want to, and then now you want to send your kids to private school. If you can't send them to private school, you want to do tutoring. All of a sudden, now you're getting into debt. We are one of the few communities that are very comfortable being in debt. Being in debt to us is nothing. I think we've come from not having much. And also, we've been pushed the debt thing, as in, it's okay. You can make... Look at buy now, pay later. It's like this big phenomenon. Like, it's really big. Like, everybody's using it. They've been doing us buy now, pay later for years. We've been taking out small loans or loans and paying it back over time, and being in debt has been normal. Been normalized for us for long. It's only now that buy now, pay later has made it out to this young masses, and the young people are just like, yo, wow, this seems great. Not knowing that we've already come from this, like, and we're trying to get out of this. And so what happens is that we've come from a place where we have robbed our future self. We have lived, you're making decisions for today because your income is not enough that are going to affect you tomorrow. And so when you get paid tomorrow, you can't enjoy the money you're getting tomorrow because you spent it yesterday. And we have to get out of that cycle. People took, like, yes, debt can be used for good. For me, I only use debt when it can make me money or save me money. If it can make me money, like, I'm going to use it. If I can buy something on a 0% credit card, sell it, and then make a profit, and then pay them back and keep the profit, pay no interest, excellent. If I know I'm going to go on holiday, rather than me just save each month for the next 6 months and then go and buy my holiday, it's more expensive. I could put that on a credit card now and get it at a cheaper price now and still do the same saving on a 0% credit card. We can start to use these things. In fact, people don't even use credit card enough. You've been buying stuff on your debit card, getting nothing for it. When you could have put that on a credit card and got points and got rewards in your spending on your favorite things. We're not even using the thing correctly. Do you know what I mean? But you use it to go for a wedding. Do you know how much? I look at my mom sometimes, I'm like, how many of these things will you buy? Like, you've got different gele, different rapper, different material for in different colours.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go, why are you leaving? Is this your legacy?
Gele, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, it's true. No, it's true. And I think it's interesting the point you made about kids as well. Obviously, you're a dad, I'm a dad. And, you know, with everything that's going on at the moment, I mean, how are you kind of educating your children? Because I know, like you said earlier on about, you know, when your kid's PE kit was messed up, you just sewed it up and just like, yeah, here you go. Come, you know. But how are you kind of explaining what's going on? And, you know, do you kind of have that power of no as well? So do you tell your kids no, even though you probably could say yes?
I think my wife is very Nigerian, so she was born in Nigeria.
Okay.
So she, no matter how successful we are in life, she can't get out of her system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes my wife will say no to my kids, and I'll be like, "Why did you even say no?" She's like, "I don't know. It just sounded like the right thing to say." Mm-hmm. Even when we can afford, sometimes I have to say no. It's okay, guys. You can. She's just so used to saying no because she comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's about understanding the balance, because at the same time, I've been able to be successful and have the hunger because I didn't have. And sometimes what we don't want to do is give our kids everything and not give them, you know, the critical thinking, not give them the hunger, desire to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Make them feel like, well, I don't need to worry because, you know, mom and dad have got me. How long are we going to look after them?
Yeah.
To what age? When, you know, the average person is buying houses late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids going to be with us in their 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be the new norm? Your kids are going to stay with you for the... Do you understand?
Yeah.
So for me, with my kids, our shopping list, I empower them. Listen, these are the things you buy. What do you want to buy this week? This is your budget.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to buy this week? I empower them. Oh, in regards to what are the meals that you want to have this week? Because one thing with kids... So I've got four kids. I've got four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing with kids, yeah, they understand is fair. I will hear this in my house. It's not fair.
Mm.
It's not fair. Kids quickly understand the concept of fair.
Yeah.
So when you start to empower them and say, look, these are what meals do you want to have? And they agree as a unit, these are the ones you're going to select. When they now come, you know, kids, oh, I don't feel like that. I don't even need to say anything. The other one will say, but we agreed. We had a meeting. We agreed. And they understand, actually, no, I did agree. So I'm going to have to eat this because I was a part of it. I wasn't forced.
Yeah.
We had a conversation. We had an agreement and so forth. And what happens is there's less wastage. One of the things that I've had to do now in this cost of living crisis is snacks. I don't know about you, but can I have a snack? My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Right. And so we had to have a snack chart.
Yeah.
You have to start putting it. No, you can't just be going there unlimited snacks. This is not like some cinema pass or something. These need to be limited,
bro.
Because the cost is unbelievable.
I felt it during the summer, man, because I was just like, yeah, summer holidays, kids are at home.
Yeah.
If you're not going out, you got food. You're obviously consuming more than you normally would, and obviously half term is coming up as well. And I'm like, yeah, no, you can't be doing them one.
we should want to teach them the value. Like, so my kids, I encourage them, like, you know, like my wife makes cakes.
Mm.
So I encourage them, if you make some cakes with mummy and then you know, you go and sell it to your friends at school, or you go and do something entrepreneurial, I'll either double whatever profits you make, or I'll cut your costs so whatever you make you can keep. It's all yours. Do you know what I mean? It's like, actually, what are we doing to encourage them to do more? Okay, right, I make money from content. Get my kids, let's make some content. What are you thinking about? What are the skills that we can, because it's not going to come to you. It's not, no matter how big my network is, I've got an amazing network. Luckily, doing what I do, I've met some amazing people. So whatever my kids want to be, you know, I'll have a content. But you can't force them. They're going to have to be in an interview. I can't sit next to them in the interview and tell them what to say.
Yeah, of course.
I can't force them to create eye contact. I've got to teach them these things from now. I've got to empower them from now. And so for me, it's vital that we start to really shape what type of children do we want. Because I'm honestly, I met too much spoiled kids. We're spoiling our kids rotten.
Yeah.
And that's not where we came from. We didn't get successful being spoiled. And I understand we don't want our kids to suffer. Like, some of the things we've been through and seen, we shouldn't have seen them. We had to grow up too early. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not go completely the other way.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I hear that. No, this is, honestly, this is, I don't, you know, hopefully, and I'm sure it has been, you know, kind of inspiring for people to hear, especially like your journey. Well, one last question I want to ask you before we wrap up is, obviously we're in this kind of cost of living crisis. So what money saving tips would you give to people at this time to kind of try and make the money go a bit further than it is at the moment? What would you say?
I think the biggest thing is be savvy. Like, we're going to have to spend money to live. The world works on money. We're going to have to spend money. Be savvy about how you're spending it. So for example, think about, do you have to drive? Do you have something like carpooling? That's something that we need to, they're doing in America a lot. That's something that we got to start thinking about. Do you have people that live around you that work, that go in the same direction as you? Can you share that cost of fuel? In regards to, you know, getting your boiler checked to make sure it's up to date. Make bleed your radiators so your house warms up quicker. Put it on a timer. Don't switch your heating on manually. That's one of the biggest mistakes. Because it takes so long for you to realize, wow, this house is too hot. By the time you've realized it's hot, it's already too hot. You switch it off, and now you're opening windows to cool down, and now you're cold again, and it all just doesn't make sense. So think about, what times is it going to be cold? Oh, maybe 2 in the morning. Okay, we've got that. Okay, the kids wake up this time. Let's make sure that, you know, it comes on for a burst at that time. Do you know what I mean? And test it out. But don't just switch your heating on. Do you know what I mean? In regards to, think about your meals. Plan. Have a list. Do you know how many people go to the supermarket without a list? I've got it in my head. No, you don't need to have it in your head. It is 2022, you know? Like, we've got so many apps, like, use them. Do you know what I mean? Split your accounts. Don't have all your money in one account. It's one of the biggest mistakes people make. Don't shop when you're hungry. Do you know? I don't know about you. Have you ever been to a supermarket when you're hungry?
It's the worst thing, because you're like, you're just picking anything because you just want to eat something. So you're not, like, your mindset is not, you know, it's not there, because you're just like, whatever I want. And then you end up, you come out of it, you're like, why did I just spend 30 quid on
nothing? And then don't be loyal to these supermarkets. One of the worst things you do is, I only shop in Tesco. Who told you this? Can you relax? Look at what you've got on your list. Go online and look around and see who's got what you want. You might find that, okay, this week it's actually cheaper for me to go to Asda and Lidl. Do you know what I mean? Yes, it might be an extra effort, but actually it might save you a bit. And what I want people to understand is the small savings. Don't feel like there's just this one trick and you're going to save £100 a week. It doesn't work like that. It's the small changes that you make that add up over time to make a big difference. And so it's about being savvy. That's where we need to be at. Be savvy. You know, if you do want to go out, look at what you can do. The other day, me and my wife, you know, we've got 4 kids. It's not easy to go out. We take the kids to the movies. And, you know, it's £100. By the time they all get their little box and then by the time you pay the tickets, it's £100. We literally did a movie night, paid for the movie that they wanted to watch, that dog animal, whatever, Kevin Hart.
DC Super Pets.
It was on Sky. We paid for it on Sky. We put the kids there, bought popcorn, less than £10. The kids loved it. Me and my wife come in with the lights, checking their tickets. Do you know what I mean? They designed their own little tickets. Remember, all of these things take time. That quiet, you can work and make money. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we've got to be finding ways to occupy these kids. They made little tickets. Everyone had their own little role. You know, we went around, did the lights, put it on, the film came on. Everyone was happy. Finish. You know how much times I take the kids to the cinema, pay £100 and they fall asleep?
No, it's true. It's true.
It's painful. Like, but these are the things. It's like, yes, you want to live. Yes, you want to. But it doesn't mean, sometimes these kids love walks. You go on walks. They go through the park, up the leaf, throw leaves everywhere, do stuff. We jump, we race. It's all free. It's cost nothing. So don't feel like you must go to Legoland. I've been there. Wasted my money. I'm never going again. Waste my money in Legoland. The queues are crazy. The kids are complaining why it's taking so long. Now they're crying. You can't get a refund. You just want to get out of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's about being savvy with your money. And I want people to really think about, what can you share? We come from places. If you can buy in bulk. Go to the market with your friends, buy in bulk, and then split it up. You're going to save money.
Yeah, Costco for me. I'm lucky I live near Costco. So it's just like, the amount of money. I know, like, because we consume a lot of chicken in the house. Yes. And like, you know, my wife especially likes using chicken thighs, like the boneless ones. Yeah. So I think we went to the butcher's the other day and literally we bought like a tray. I think it's like £30 for a tray. That was about 6 weeks ago. Still running. But if I was to go to the supermarket, I'm spending about £5-6 for the smaller tray.
Little bag.
So I think, I think definitely there is definitely savings to be made across the board. But Emmanuel, I just want to say, you know what? Huge thank you for coming on to the podcast today. Honestly, I feel like we could talk for hours about this, but I think one thing that I would say I've taken away from this very much is about being savvy with your money, you know, being savvy with what you have at the moment. Obviously, you know, it's a massive cost of living crisis that we're going through right now. Everyone is going through it. What can we do to kind of try and help ourselves a lot better? You know, being savvy about where we shop, being savvy about when we shop and, you know, how we're doing it. And the other thing I kind of take away from this is about legacy and kind of legacy building and us as a community. What are we doing to kind of ensure our legacy for the future? So remembering what our parents experience, what we're going through now, and what do we want for our children and our future grandchildren to go through? So yeah, so that's that. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Dope Black Dads podcast. Please check us out on all the normal social medias, Insta, Twitter. I don't believe we have a TikTok. I need to speak to people about that. I think we should probably get onto that platform as well. Obviously on Spotify and YouTube. Check out Emmanuel, you know, go hit him up on Twitter, on Instagram. He's there. He's doing moves. He's making big things. And from a fellow East Londoner, it is so great to see, you know, a man making them kind of moves. And you know what? Getting to chill with Phil and Holly on this morning, doing your thing on Channel 4. I love it, bro. Yeah. I'm absolutely loving it. So thank you so much, King. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Dope Black Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.